You're listening to STP Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to STP Radio. My name is Mike Lyles, and this is our next series preparing for our upcoming conference with STP Con, which we do twice a year. I'm excited to be your host today for a series of interviews that we're going to be doing with several speakers for the second time. We did it last April, and we're going to do it again for this upcoming conference for fall STP Con. STP Con is going to be in Dallas, Texas this year from September the 19th through the 22nd. Be sure to check out www.stpcon.com, where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Software Test Pro on both of these. Today, I have with me a co-host, Smita Misra. Smita has been part of our STP program for several years, and she's been hosting STP interviews as well. Welcome, Smita.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
So let's meet our guests today. Today, we're interviewing the members of our keynote panel. It's something we did last time. It's something we want to do again this STP Con because it was a very big success the last time. And we're going to do this during our general session on Wednesday, September the 21st at our lunch session. This keynote is called Test Revolution. The R is in parentheses, so it's Test Evolution Revolution Part 2, an expert panel on software testing. And with me today, I have the experts that will be on that panel. We have Melissa Tondi, who is the head of QA at shopathome.com. We have Mary Thorne, director of agile practices at iPrio, and Paul Grazafi, director of QA and automation program architect at InThrive. I'd like to start with a quick introduction from each of you guys today. So as you're called upon, just let me know a little bit about you, how you got into testing, and anything else that you'd like to share with us about you. Let's start with you, Melissa.
Hi, nice to be with everybody today. So I'm Melissa. I've spoken at a number of STPCon conferences. I love it. I look forward to them every year. I'm especially excited to speak at a couple of instances this year again. So I've been in quality assurance testing, quality engineering for the last 20 plus years. Kind of fell into that role right out of college, was broke, had a very interesting position that was presented to me to earn a couple bucks around user acceptance testing, fell in love with it, and I never looked back. So I've kind of focused for the last 20 or so years on efficiencies around team building and just evangelizing and pushing and advocating for quality engineering in specific organizations.
Awesome. And let's talk to Mary Thorne. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mary.
Similar to Melissa, I am currently the Director of Software Testing and Agile Practices at iPrio. I fell into testing right out of college, luckily doing Y2K work for the Department of Transportation. I did the analysis, I did the development, and then I did the testing. I realized I'm really bad at coding, and so I better pick this testing thing up really quick. So I've been doing testing for about 20 years, and it's just a passion of mine. And a lot like Melissa, it's just process improvement, team building, and trying to, you know, get us all to continuously improving all of our skills and upskilling of our own selves.
Awesome. And last but not least, Paul Grazafi.
Yeah, so I got into testing sort of similar but a little differently. I was recruited out of grad school to work at a telecommunications company and be in their test automation group. I didn't realize it was test automation at that point. It was just doing cool C++ stuff. And I fell in love with the idea of delivering tools and value to a different type of user base, the tester and QA user base. Until February, I was solely automation. I'd done automation for over 20 years, and then I was promoted to director of QA in February, and that's what I've been doing since. It's been a good learning experience there because I've had to broaden my outlook and broaden just sort of my whole thoughts around testing, not just from a tool provider standpoint, but actually to be a consumer and a realizer of the value that they deliver.
I know each of you are on the panel, and we will talk a little bit about that toward the end, but I really want to leave the panel, but I want to say to the folks that are listening out there, we're gonna be querying the group, the community out there, and saying to folks, please give us some questions for these guys. So as you're listening to this, be thinking of what questions you'd like to ask these guys, and we will review those and put those up as part of the keynote panel, and then be asking these guys those questions. Because think of what the community wants to hear, and let's be thinking about that as we move forward and get closer to the conference. But I want to talk, each of you have two presentations, whether it's workshops or sessions each. And Smita and I are going to go through each of them with you and just hear a bit about what you're doing in each of those. And I want Smita to get started. So let's get started, Smita, and take it away.
Thanks, Mike. It's such a pleasure to be back on STP Radio Show again. I think I keep waiting for it to happen again and again. Incidentally, I have interviewed all three of our panel members today, last time individually. So great to have you all back. Welcome. Let's get started with you, Melissa. How have you been? How's your new job? And do you still get time for your local meetup that you do?
I sure do. Yeah, things are going well. The job offers me a lot of good work-life balance and also puts a lot of value into me kind of speaking out in the community, both writing and attending and speaking at conferences. So everything's going well. Got lots of lessons learned that I'm going to be bringing to both of my sessions and we'll be sharing with a whole bunch of you hopefully during the conference.
Awesome. Great. So last time I remember you had one workshop on expanding your mobile testing offerings, but it seems this time you're doing a whole lot. So let's talk about your first workshop that we have there, Test Leadership Roundtable. So what is it about?
Yeah, so this really came about from kind of talking with people from last STPCon and previous ones before. And I really wanted to put something together that specifically emphasize test leadership and what that means. I threw in here, I'm a big proponent of the open space format, which if you're not familiar with that, it really is specific to the attendees in that session. So everyone will have an opportunity to contribute to topics that we discuss. So it's a very real life and on demand type of format. It's really dynamic and really collaborative. And specifically emphasizing the test leadership, I threw out there some categories and topics that I thought we'd cover, but really the way that these open space format sessions run, really the sky's the limit and they become very much dynamic and really tailored and customized to the attendees to that session. So some things that you can look forward to are, you know, team dynamics and culture, you know, what makes a good team and managing within a team. And this is both relevant to current test managers or leaders or aspiring test managers and leaders. We'll also talk a little bit about test automation because that always seems to be a hot topic in addition to mobile testing. And one topic that's very near and dear to my heart, accessibility. And we'll talk a little bit about jumpstarting some accessibility services that we can bring immediately into our current testing offerings.
Do you also practice this at your work, all the strategies that you would be talking?
Yes. In addition to those that I just listed, we've got lots of others to cover as well. But again, you know, these are all kind of real life experiences that either I or people close to me have put together and have been successful with. So that being kind of the catalyst to what hopefully becomes very, again, dynamic and collaborative topics, starting out with those few. And we'll see. The sky's the limit on what will happen in that leadership roundtable.
I heard you mention automation. And Paul, you have a session on Not Your Parents' Automation, which I've always loved that title, Practical Application of Non-Traditional Automation. And I think we are living in a world where there's a lot of discussion about automation, and there's a lot of people on both sides of it. And I think with all the changes that are coming and the things that we're having to deal with in our testing organizations around automation, love to hear what you're going to speak about there and what kind of things you're going to convey to your audience.
So the main thing that I'm trying to convey to my audience is automation is not about test cases and taking test cases and turning it into scripts and then running scripts. That would be an implementation of automation. I prefer to think of automation as a judicious application of technology to help testers be more effective or more efficient. And if we can look at it that way, it sort of opens a scope up for us to be able to think of different types of things as automation, because we can really use technology as a force multiplier to help make the testers more effective or more efficient. There's nothing really wrong with saying, hey, I need a smoke suite or a regression suite to run through some of these things that are going to free me up to do either higher value exercises or exercises and tasks that are more geared towards humans and not as geared toward machines, with the goal of expanding our test coverage. We do that. We do that where we are at InThrive, but we also adopt some alternate approaches that have actually proven to give us value. These are some things I started exploring more specifically back when we were at GameStop. I had a boss there, a leader, who introduced me to this notion of that he called automation assist, which is this umbrella term for non-traditional automation. And what I'll do is I'll go through some examples, because I find that these really, really sort of give the attendees something they can take and go, hey, you know what? I can't take that and use it as is, but I can take that and it inspires me to bend it and fold it and change it in a way that I can take home and use it tomorrow or use it Monday when I get back to my desk. So I'll take these real life examples that I've had in my own career where we've done some non-traditional things and show how they brought value to the table.
I love that. And, you know, I think it's to be said here, Paul, you're part of a big part of our program in building out automation courses and workshops and sessions for us. And I think your input, just like you're saying here, your knowledge of what does automation do and your aspect and your outlook on how automation should be done and what people think about automation, I think is really beneficial to the community, but also very beneficial to STPCon. And we appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to do it. It's been fun. I've learned a lot. Reading other people's abstracts and proposals and going through their presentations and stuff like that, it's been a good learning experience for me to take and bake into my own career and to my own presentation. I find that I'm very lacking in the artistic part. I look at other people's slides and go, damn, I wish I was that good, because I feel like mine looked like an elementary school kid did them.
No, I enjoyed your presentation in San Francisco at the last STPCon as I enjoyed anything else. I really enjoy your style and the way you speak there. And like I said, I think anybody that's in automation, and there's so many others to talk here, but I think anyone that's in automation really should consider STPCon just for what the team has put together. What Paul's been part of is finding the right folks to come here. We've got Richard Bradshaw there with automation as well, and a lot of good folks speaking about some great automation processes, tools, and just overall concepts.
Awesome. Paul, just to mention, I really like your explicit comments on automation one. So it really makes it very easy to, you know, even if I don't know those techniques so in depth, it really makes it so easy to review the stuff with your comments. So thank you actually for doing it.
Oh, and thank you.
Let's talk to Mary. How have you been, Mary, all this while? We haven't talked since last STP, I guess.
Busy, good. Transitioning from my current role of software testing engineer to more of an agile practices role. So doing both roles for a time being. I'm finding that I can't do both. So trying to figure out how to do both has been a challenge, but good. It's been fun. Mm-hmm. And testing is always going to be mainstream in my life. So even if it's an agile practices or software test engineering, it's one of those things where I have that experience and I can lead in both directions.
Definitely. What I find very interesting about your work each time you come to STP is that you've already worked on your stuff. There's always something new and something, and then there are also classes which you've already done, sessions which you've already done, and those are, again, you add some new flavor each time to it. So how is this particular workshop that you're going to do about agile testing techniques to survive and thrive? Is it something that you're doing for the first time? Is it an evolved presentation, or like you've done it before?
I've done this once before, I always take the workshops. Mike Lyles came and did something in Raleigh for us in March, and it's something that Bob Galen and I tryout out there. And so this is our second time at it. We got really good responses from it. A lot of the people are still transitioning from a waterfall world to an agile world, or they've been to agile for a year and are still not clicking. And so a lot of the techniques that we introduced, some people might find, oh, you know, these are things that, you know, I've done for a while, but actually a lot of people are like, wow, you know, doing regression and trying to get regression done in a sprint, if it's not automated, oh, these are really some good techniques that I can really look into and figure out, okay, this is how I reduce my regression suite. This is how I test smarter. This is what I'm not going to test. It's a lot around how can we think about getting regression done in sprints or in hardening sprints if test automation is not where it's supposed to be. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges, right? Because a lot of times you come into these organizations, the test automation is not where it's supposed to be. You get somebody like Paul to come in and bring it to where it needs to be, but it still takes time. You can't just all of a sudden in 2 months or 3 months have full regression automated. And so there's a lot of techniques that it's about four or five or six techniques that Bob and I have used over the past 10 years doing agile around how to really test smarter, and there are more agile techniques, but it's something that a lot of people find a lot of value in. Of that could work for me. That might solve my problem that I'm having, and trying to prevent things like scrum or fall happening within the sprint, et cetera, when you don't have the test automation where you need it to be.
Right. So, in fact, I found one sentence in your abstract very interesting that said that you leave this workshop with your toolbox overflowing with the new ideas and approaches. So I know you'll be definitely talking about the ideas and approaches, but quickly, would you also be talking specifically about some tools that we could use?
There are a couple of tools that we recommend in the workshop, from either ones that you pay or that you or free, or just even souped up Excel spreadsheets.
Okay, thank you.
I like it that you're talking about new techniques, new things to be thinking about. I think that's one of the things that STPCon does very well, is kind of introduce new ideas and concepts to our attendees. And Melissa, you've got a very awesome session coming up for the tester's role, balancing technical acumen and user advocacy. And I think the part I love about that is, years ago, testers would say, I'm not a technical guy. I can't be a technical guy or girl. And I want to focus only on what I'm doing in testing. But we know that today's world, it's not common practice, and people need to be more prepared to be more involved on the development side, and dev needs to be talking to the testing teams. So I'm really interested in hearing about your session and what you're going to speak about there and what you want the people to take away.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most, I'm excited about this particular session because it's probably been 20 plus years in the making. I tend to use the analogy of a pendulum. And a pendulum, of course, as you know, kind of forces itself and always wants to be in balance, its point of equilibrium. And so I use that model throughout this particular presentation when I talk about balancing between when we shift left, which is kind of closer to the dev and the more technical aspects of testing, versus shifting right, which is more of the user advocacy, and always kind of doing quick course corrections in all of our initiatives going on in quality engineering to make sure that we're striking that balance between. And so I talk a little bit about timelines and key factors that in my world, say in the 20 plus years that I've been in QA and test, and I kind of show some factors that have contributed to the ever-evolving role of QA, specifically focusing on quality assurance versus software testing versus software quality engineering versus software developer and engineer and test and all those. So talk a little bit about, and always kind of having that theme of the balance between the two. And then when you have that balance, you're able to really look and create efficiencies. And of course, with creating a more efficient operating model, you create more bandwidth in which to bring in more services and more testing areas to expand your current offerings. And so this session is really kind of the culmination of 20 plus years of my career, and of course bringing in feedback from many others that I've worked with, and really kind of focusing on that balance and always using that pendulum as our guide to strike that balance between technical acumen and user advocacy.
So interestingly, Melissa, when you said about freeing up bandwidth of testers and allowing them to do something great, I really hope automation world also thinks about it the same way. A lot of times here in automation, it's like if you're bringing in automation, that means you can replace testers. So that's I really hope they don't think the same there.
Yeah, you know, one of the, in fact, I was going through my slides in here. There is a quote that we created several years ago. And it says, test automation makes humans more efficient, not less essential. And really a good automation strategy is going to allow the human tester to do what they do best, which is test that software. Automation really provides that support to make them much more efficient. So those repetitive types of tests that can and should be automated, you're really going to strike that balance between letting the people do what they do best. And in a highly functioning and mature model in QE, where there's a good automation strategy in place, we've seen just leaps and bounds of the number of bugs and issues found before production, but really just a higher quality product because we're focusing on doing things like testing outliers and testing scenarios that we never really had the time to do. And that is absolutely balanced with a good automation strategy. Certainly not a replacement for the humans in that specific area.
So speaking of automation, Paul, I see that you're doing your famous and your favorite roundtable again. I think last time, I remember when I was talking to you, it was about Sasquatch, and that also reminded me quickly. How's your back now? I'm sorry.
My back is much better. I just finished physical therapy last week, and now I'm released on my own recognizance to actually go to the gym and continue my alleged progress. But things are much, much better than they were before.
Very nice. So coming back to your roundtable, what is it that you love so much about it? And what is it that you're, because I know it's a very popular roundtable on STP too. So what is it that you really give it to your audience that's so popular and that you do it every time?
It really hits, I think, the sweet spot for me from a presentation standpoint, where I get to share some ideas, but I also selfishly get to hear everybody else's ideas, and I get to learn from what they're doing as well, because it's more of an actual sort of roundtable. The idea is people come in and bring in their ideas or their questions or their challenges and say, I'm having a problem with getting the developers to help me with this particular automation piece, or I'm having a problem figuring out how best to wedge automation into this particular facet of my testing approach. And it's not about me answering these questions. It's about me facilitating other people answering these questions, because automation is so dependent on the context and the frame of reference that you're in. Things that work for your company might not work for my company. And even in my company, things that work for one team don't work for another team, because the demographic is different, the product is different, the user base is different. So I've got certain templates I can apply, but we always have to modify almost immediately because of the different frame of reference that we have. It's interesting to get the answers to these questions in different frames of reference. That actually helps not only me, but it helps the person with the challenge, and even the people who have overcome this challenge or having the same challenge as well, get new ideas that they can take back home. So I think it's one of those everybody kind of wins situations.
You know, in fact, it's like hitting the bull's eye when you say this, because I haven't seen another form of testing that has been so much in controversies, so much debated about, so much talked about, and everyone has a different opinion and perspective about it. And definitely because obviously their frame of reference is different, they're implementing it in a different context. But I also think that the fact that some of the tools and the cost around it are so high that it makes it very imperative to actually attend such roundtables or go to somebody and talk to many, many people before you actually take your step and get into the thick of these things.
I could go on for hours and hours and hours about the four things that you just said right there. But you focused in on what's going on there. Is there a lot of opinions? The opinions are being formed sometimes with lots of context and sometimes with a very narrow context because the people forming the opinion only have one frame of reference. I tried it. It didn't work for me. Therefore, automation doesn't work. Or I was in a company once where they came in, they automated, and they fired us. Or the plan was to fire us, and I got the hell out. How that worked out for them, who knows, right? Because they got out. But it's one of those things where if you haven't been through a lot of these, your first taste is what you always remember. And if your first taste was bad, and many times it is because people are going forward with automation with the wrong idea in mind, with incorrect expectations that are never going to be met. So obviously it's a flaming dumpster fire by the time you're finished with it, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you don't want to deal with that again.
Oh, flaming dumpster fire. I just saw that in my mind when you said that. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
So speaking of controversy, I think there's the world is moving to a lot of agile concepts. Some companies are doing what I love to hear Bob and Mary talk about, big A and little A agile, and to hear them speak about the differences. It really helped us last time at San Francisco to understand what folks are seeing is big A agile, little A agile. But the big controversy we're seeing right now is folks are saying we're agile now. We don't need test management. We don't need that leadership. We got this, we're taking care of it ourselves. And I think this workshop that you're doing, Mary, is really going to help folks understand, how do I deal with that? How do I show that there's value in having test management and leadership within an agile team? And your workshop is called Leading Agile Testers Successfully Making the Leap with Bob Galen. And can you tell us a little bit about that and what you're hoping to do there?
Yeah, it's a lot what you just said, Mike. When Bob and I wrote the book, The Three Pillars of Agile Quality and Testing, we went through it, and there's several chapters where we just didn't get into the depth that we really wanted to. And our intention has been that we would add-on chapters to the books. Instead, in working up to that, we've decided to do workshops and get feedback from workshops around some of the content that we would add to chapters. And so this is one of those chapters where we felt we didn't have enough meat in it, and we really wanted to expand on the role of test leaders, what their mission is, what their vision is, how do we, what's the day in the life of that person supposed to be doing, and what's the value that they bring, right? And so it comes a lot around leadership, a lot around really just how to take the Agile manifesto and what it means, bring that to testing specific leadership, and then just how do you partner strategically in your day. I mean, let's be honest, when you get to the test leadership at this level, half your day a lot of time is partnering and selling the value of what you're bringing. And so try to bring some techniques that help do that as well.
So everyone that's listening, this, as you can tell, is six very awesome workshop sessions, and all of these guys are going to be on the panel, the keynote panel. So many things coming to STPCon. I'm so excited to be part of it, more excited than all the times I've been there, and I've been there for 4 or 5 years now. And I want to hear from each of you guys, and we want to know, as we get to Dallas, what kind of things are you looking forward to? Obviously, you want to be ready, prepared to share your message with the audiences. But what kind of things are you looking for? Workshops, sessions, keynotes? What is one thing that each of you that you can think of that's in the program that kind of stands out to you, something you want to hear that you definitely want to be in attendance at, that you would want to share with everyone else? And tell us a little bit about that. We'll go through the group. And Paul, we'll start with you. Tell us about what presentation are you looking forward to attending and being part of?
Well, I've got my whole sort of 2-day, 4 days mapped out already. But I think the one that I'm probably most interested in attending is Being a Testing Toolsmith by Richard Bradshaw. He came onto my radar, I don't know, a year ago, maybe. Hadn't heard of him, but he and I have very, very similar ideas, but different vocabularies in how we approach automation. It seems our focus really is on less of the traditional automation and more on, hey, let's do some things that are going to make testers and testing more effective or more efficient. Than based just strictly on, hey, let's take test cases and let computers do that stuff for us. I'm anxious to see where we differ and have some good discussions around those different points there. I'm a big fan of what he's been doing also with his whiteboard testing videos. Very cool stuff.
I agree completely. I think getting Richard there is like one of the big names that's really being seen a lot by the community out there on Twitter and in the community everywhere really right now. So we're getting him at a hot time in his career.
And the other thing is it's not part of the program per se, but it's the hallway conversations and the after hours conversations at the speaker meet and greets and the vendor receptions and stuff. I've made so many relationships that have been valuable, the people that I can ping a question to or they can ping a question back to me. We can have a quick discussion and build my knowledge network, not my sort of my job seeking network, but my knowledge network out across disciplines, across companies, across different types of technologies and across countries, that with just the way the world is and the connectivity we have today, we can jump on Skype or we can ping back and forth on Twitter. People should really take advantage of the fact that they would have access to people in less formal situations.
Agree completely. So how about you, Melissa? What are you looking forward to being part of?
I mean, I'll echo what Paul said about the kind of hallway conversations, and especially those cocktail hours at the end of every couple of the evenings. I always look forward to those. It's always nice to relax and kind of meet and talk with people throughout the conference, whether they've heard you speak previously or whether they're asking you about things that you're going to speak about or just sharing their experiences. But there's one particular session that I'm really looking forward to because I think it's one of those areas that we've barely touched on in software testing, and that's Jim Stivak's Only Specialists Can Do Security Testing, right? And this is one thing that in my hour-long session, shifting the test role session, I specifically talk a little bit about security testing, and that's one of those kind of nebulous or ambiguous areas that we tend to shy away from. So I am really excited to hear what somebody's, what Jim's going to have to say about how we can actually bring that way left into our team dynamics, into our agile teams, or certainly what we can do from a testing standpoint, because I certainly touch on some of those from a high level, but I'm very interested to see how he dives into that in his hour-long session.
Wow, you guys are picking some really good sessions, and I agree with you. I think security testing is really becoming something that a lot of folks are interested in their companies. Some are doing it, some are not sure they know how to do it. And I think this is really one of the topics we're going to start seeing. We've got a keynote by a guy named Miko, who is going to be talking about security as well. So I think it's going to be a great conference to have those types of discussions around security. I think a lot of people will like it. I think it's a great choice. Mary, how about you?
I'm one of those people that when I find good speakers that I like to listen to who have new items out, I kind of go back to them because I know I like their style. I usually agree with what they, what they believe in, and just kind of want to see where they're naturally progressing their style. So a couple of speakers that I'm looking forward to hearing from is, I met Sumitra last time, and I really looking forward to her context driven strategies. I believe fully in the context driven testing. I'd like to hear her spiel on it and the techniques that she's implemented around that. That's a lot around what I believe in, especially from an agile perspective. We use a lot around context driven testing. The other people I really enjoyed listening to are the likes of Mark Tomlinson, who's a veteran for SCPCon, and Mike, I'm not here to toot your whistle, but you're always entertaining, and I enjoy coming to listen to your programs as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for saying you would be there in my session. That's awesome. Yeah. And Melissa, we have to have our those cocktail evenings together again.
Right. I wasn't sure whether or not I should emphasize that, but I really do look forward to those.
Yes. So great.
So you should definitely emphasize that.
Did that.
Duly noted.
Yep. So I have one final question for each of you again, and we'll be wrapping off after that. So since each of you have attended and participated in STPCon before and have been a very, very, very active supporter and participation before, but what would you really like to tell the audience who are potentially looking at it or wanting to attend the program? Why should they attend it?
Well, I get to see behind the curtain a little bit since I've been helping with vetting proposals and putting together the automation track, as it were. And I know that we as a smaller group and as a slightly larger group before, we were really focusing on taking the content and bringing it out of sort of the 100 level stuff into the 200, 300, and 400 level stuff, where we've still got some introductory level, particularly in the automation, where there's always going to be there'll always be new people coming in that need some of the introductory level stuff there. But if you look at the program as a whole, there are some really advanced and intermediate concepts here that people can come in and say, okay, I've been to other conferences and I've gotten a baseline. I want to up my game. I want to move on to the next level. And I think STP really, really gives attendees the opportunity to challenge themselves and to push themselves and get a good mix of conceptual stuff that they can come home and sort of grow up with, but also some practical things that they can take and sit down the next day or back Monday at their desks and say, I learned these new techniques. I'm going to pick one and I'm going to use it today and see how it works out for me.
Perfect. Very well said. How about you, Mary? How's it?
You know, what I love about, for people when they come is two things. You need to come with an open mind because you're going to hear some things that you completely disagree with or that you completely love. And so to come with an open mind and really take the time to invest that personal learning, one of the things I'm really passionate about is continuous self-improvement. And if you come to the conference with a good attitude, you'll definitely learn some stuff, whether or not you always agree with it, you keep an open mind, and at least will give you a different way to think about things when you go back to your day-to-day work.
Yeah, right. I mean, you are such an authority on Agile, Mary, and I wouldn't be able to think of having detailed conversations or being lucky enough to have such conversations had it not been with you, had it not been for STP. So I'm like, anybody who's wanting to have such conversations with leaders, this is the place.
Agreed.
Yeah. So what about you, Melissa? What would you suggest the audience? Why should they attend it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, I think STPCon is just the right size. There are plenty of sessions to choose from throughout, the days of within that week that we're going to be speaking, from the tutorials and workshops all the way to the 1 hour sessions. I kind of joke, but I'm very much serious that take advantage of, as Paul mentioned, those hallway conversations of the evening events. If you find that you speaker specifically resonated with you, seek them out. I've had wonderful conversations with speakers that have spoken, and have struck a particular chord with me when I was sitting in their session, and I've gone and sought them out and have had an hour or two long conversation with them. And so I think everybody that's participating in the conference this year has an open mind. They're not done when after they give their talk or their tutorial. So I would say, take advantage of those hallway conversations, those events, those in-between session times, and really dig into deep and make sure that you can take back the very next day you get back into your office and make sure that you've got the tools that you need to implement some of those things that you're going to be hearing and getting excited about.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Melissa.
Well, guys, audience out there that's listening, if you've not signed up for this conference yet, I'm wondering what you're waiting on. We're hearing three great speakers who are going to do a great keynote panel. I'm so excited to hear them speak. I'm so excited for these six sessions. These guys have brought up some really good sessions and workshops that they're going to want to be part of. And that's just part of the many things that we're going to have in Dallas, September the 19th through the 22nd. And please get out there, sign up for our newsletter, follow us on Twitter, watch what we're doing, watch our promotions, be ready, sign up, join this conference. We'll see you in Dallas, and we can't wait to have you there with us. And we'll see you in just a couple of weeks. Thank you guys on the panel so much for being part of this. I just want to say a big thanks to you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. It's always a blast.
And thanks to my co-host, Smita. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks. All right. Thank you all on panel.
And we'll see you guys in Dallas. Yes.
All right. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio. You can find out more about STPCon coming up in Dallas September 19th through the 22nd by visiting stpcon.com. For more information, discounts, and more STP Radio episodes, follow us on Twitter at Software Test Pro.